Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah. It's the new experiment. Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Reality Spirituality. I'm your host, Rebecca Lynn Norrington, and today we're supposed to have a guest on the show, and of course, you know how life is. Sometimes things happen the way you quote-unquote plan, and all of the times, things happen the way the universe plans. I don't know if my guest is sleeping or missed his plane. It doesn't even matter. So I want to invite you to call in. We're going to do a mono a mono if the guest doesn't call in. The number to call here is area code 646-564-9619. Again, area code 646-564-9619. And for my new listeners, who the hell is this Rebecca L. Norrington? What? What is it, Samuel L. Jackson? No. It's interesting. I love my full name. When I was younger, I hated it. And now I'm embracing all of it. And I like the L because it just adds an extra spark. So, yes, I am a self-proclaimed happiness specialist. And what that means is that my priority until the day I breathe my last breath is experiencing more, creating more happiness in my own life. I can't create happiness. I can't make anyone else happy. But what I can do is be an energy of, and I'm going to use words that are synonymous with happy, and it is a peace, a calming, a cool, a contented energy. And quite frankly, I did not get here overnight. I am not without my own daily challenges, just like the one today with the no guest showing up. But life isn't about what happens. And that is really what I want to share with you. Life is about your perception of what is happening. And let me say this, my eyes deceive me because I can look at a situation and I can say, oh, this is not supposed to be happening. What's going on here? Universe, are you kidding me? But the reality is everything that has happened, everything that will happen this is what I believe is a divine plan. And with that being a divine plan, there is a reason and a purpose to all of it. But guess what? I don't know what the hell the reason is. I don't know what the purpose is. Well, I do know the purpose. Let me tell you what the purpose for everything happening. The purpose is for my expansion, for my growth, for my evolution. That is the purpose that everything, that is the purpose for what is going on. It's the expansion of the universe, and singularly me as an individual, and also you, because my dear audience, when you grow, when you change, when you make a decision, when you choose to be more conscious in your daily life, you actually are, when you're more conscious, the world is more conscious. So you don't really have to leave your house. I know I've said it a lot of times, but you don't have to leave your house to change the world. And that is the truth, because this is energy, and this energy expands. You are touching every person in the world. You're touching everything in the world just by your vibration. And so it's very important to pay attention to your vibration and what you are sending out. Before I go on, as I always wait until the end of the show, and usually wait till the end of the show, but I want to share with my audience where they can find me. Why, my website is RebeccaNorrington.com. That's RebeccaNorrington. Oh, well, look who's here, my guest. Hold on a second. Let me just finish the announcements. Website, Rebecca Norrington, RebeccaNorrington. You can follow me on Twitter at RLN Signature, one word, RLN Signature. Facebook is Reality Spirituality. You can email me at info@RebeccaNorrington. Okay, well, since our guest decided to wake up, hold on and let me unmute my guest. Well, good morning, Mr. Sid Cartwright. Good morning.
Good
Were
morning.
You sleeping through the show?
Yep.
Well, you know what's so funny? One of the things I was going to talk about, if you called in or if you didn't call in, was just about having expectations and how I don't care if I'm in my car and I'm driving. What's all that noise?
No noise over here.
No noise?
No, I don't hear any noise.
Hold on a second. Let me just see if it's coming on your end. Yeah, can you call in again one more time, please, Nathan? Sid, just call in again. I'll put you right on, okay? Because there's something wrong with the line.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Okay, my dear audience, I don't know about you, but I heard something. It was a scratching, but when he calls in again, we're going to talk about... And if the noise happens again, then I'm just going to go through with the show. You know, life is about these kind of things happening, and we can't control what happens. I can't control what happens. I can't control what anybody does. I can't control what anybody says. But I definitely can control how I respond to everything. So the response to everything is really the key. And it doesn't matter what your eyes tell you, and it doesn't matter what it looks like, it doesn't matter what it seems, because it's never really what you are experiencing is never the real reality. Hi, Sid Cartwright, welcome to the show. Do you understand? Do you get what I'm saying? I was sharing with the audience that our eyes can be very deceptive, and our eyes can tell us that something is going on, and it's really not.
Hmm.
Can you speak on that?
Yeah, I can speak on that, because and your body can tell you what you're feeling, but what your body is feeling isn't really not what you're feeling. I know that sounds a little crazy. But
Okay, let's just get right into it, because one of the reasons why I wanted to be on the show is that you shared with me, and one of the things that I love about you, Sid Cartwright, and also is just that you're so open and you're so honest and you're so eager to share your experiences, and we're all so unique. We're all different as our fingerprints, and all of us have our different challenges in our lives and unique to us. And so just let's start at the beginning, just a little bit about your journey and just where, just before we get into the topic of being ill and getting sick and fears and all that, just a little bit of your background and your journey from a very young man to where you are now. I mean, were you always looking for answers?
Well, I didn't really know it, but yeah, I was always looking for some kind of answer. I didn't know that that was my journey until I kind of looked back on it at a later date. But it just seemed, the way life unfolded is that it all makes sense now. At the time, it really didn't, but I have to say that, yeah, it looks like whether I was looking for answers or not, it was answers were intended to reveal themselves. And so, you know, certain circumstances have to take place in order for you to be in positions that allow certain characteristics to come out. Like, for example, you know, being sick or whatever you want to call it. It takes a circumstance in order to, you say, well, I know how I'll respond, but you really don't until you face it. So it seems like the ancestors have kind of deemed me, have deemed it necessary for me to face whatever seems to be a fear of mine.
And now we're getting into it. And thank you. Now we're getting into the topic, which are fears. And I don't know about you, but I guess consciously I could say what I was afraid of. I know for a fact I'm afraid of snakes, but really what I'm afraid of. But unconsciously, it's even deeper. And what I've discovered with me is that whatever's in the dark in my life, whatever's dark, whatever is in the corner hiding, the universe, I say universe, you say ancestor, it's all the same thing. The universe always exposes it and always puts a goddamn spotlight on it, shine, just to bring it to my attention so I can either address it and I can overcome it and I can rise above it and I can grow beyond it. And so, yeah, and so what you're talking about, you're sharing with me about being sick. And I have to say that I've known you for, 16 years now. And when I first met this young man, he was a lot younger, but when I first met him, he had this reaction, and it's commonly called GERD, which is just coming from your stomach, and you get, I don't know what that, but my father had it too. And so share with me back in the day, back when you first realized that you had this, because I remember it taking you out for days, sometimes even months. I remember one time you didn't even call me for 3 months. I didn't know what happened to you. You do your disappearing act, but you didn't call it. And then I found out later that you have this GERD. And what was the beginning? Do you remember the first time you had it and how you felt? And what did you think it was? And just go to the first before we get to where you are now.
Yeah, well, the first time I got it, of course, I didn't know what was going on. So I'm thinking maybe, you know, a couple of shots of Pepto-Bismol or Alka-Seltzer or something, and I'll be back up and running. And once, you know, that had the effect of candy, then a couple of weeks, I began to kind of wonder, okay, maybe this might be a little serious. But the only thing, by that time, you know, the symptoms become worse and worse, which are, you know, you get this, you know, for me, it's like a heartburn, an intense heartburn feeling. Like, you know, you got a lot of pressure on your chest, your throat, your esophagus kind of tightens up. It feels like food is kind of choking as you go down. It's very hard to digest. It's a digestive problem that normal circumstances, like I say, often stuff can take away. But when it develops into this GERD, you need medication from the doctor. Otherwise, the pain can be very held, excruciating, and the pressure can be hard. So, you know, once I didn't know what was going on, I had never had it before, so I let it go on so long. By the time I went to the doctor, you know, symptoms were pretty severe. And so I know exactly and I've had it maybe throughout my, you know, after the first time I've gotten it, maybe at least, you know, 2 to 3 other times, and now I think I have it now. And so one of my biggest fears was just being able to, I never really believed in the fact that you could have a good attitude while you're not feeling well. I kind of said it and, you know, verbalized it or whatever, but I didn't really believe it because I thought the way you were, the way my body was feeling or the way I was feeling emotionally, whether it be sad or whatever, whatever the case may be, or happy, whatever, I thought that whatever was taking place dictated how I felt. And I went with that my entire life. And then, you know, this week has been an eye-opener where...
Well, hold on a second, because before we get to the eye-opener, let me just tease the audience, because this is a real eye-opener. I just want to reiterate, and I want to underline what you said, and I'm the same way. I mean, a foot problem, for me, foot problem, I got to wear orthotics, other kind of issues, physical issues, especially when you get, quote-unquote, older, and... It's really, especially when your body is not feeling 100% or you're ill or you're in pain, to stay in a place of peace, contentment, and being happy. And you said something earlier about circumstance dictating, and the majority, I mean, listen, I was taught that when you're feeling bad, you feel bad. You feel bad. It doesn't just exist in your body. It goes into your emotional state. It goes to your mind. It takes over. And it's very, very difficult to feel good when your body is feeling bad and, like you just said, in pain. So this week, Take my audience through what happened the first time you felt this sensation of GERD, because before you would tell me that GERD would come on because of stress, but who knows why it comes on. But get the reason, it's here. So take me through the first day, how you're feeling, what you were thinking, and the days through it, as opposed to just jumping to the big conclusion, because this is a huge story.
Yeah, okay, all right. Well, because I know the symptoms, I can pretty much, I know what's going on, and I know what type of pain I'm supposed to be feeling at what particular time, because I've gone through it. So I know what the initial stages feel like. You get this heaviness in your chest. Okay, I felt that the first day. I'm going, okay, a little tightness in my throat. All right, no problem. You know, I'll take some enzymes and, you know, a couple of Tums and I'll be fine. Okay, it doesn't work. It didn't work first couple of days. Okay, all right. I know that as it goes on, I don't know why, but it starts to affect my muscles. Like, because I'm nervous. I start to become nervous, so I become twitch. My muscles start to twitch. Especially this time, it just happened to be the muscle in my thumb. The muscle in my thumb, just my thumbs now. Sometimes it's my eyes, sometimes, you know, it's the lip, whatever. This time it's not. So the thumb, my thumbs are twitching. Okay, now I know that it's been 3 days or so into this thing. I feel the pressure. It's starting to build. It's not going away. Thumbs aren't helping. Now I'm starting to twitch. Okay, I got the signs. This is the real deal. It's on its way. Well, then once I get this esophagus thing and it really starts to close and breathing becomes harder. And when you lay down, you know, then you know you got it. When you're sitting up, you're okay. Then when you lay down, you have to kind of catch your breath a little bit, just a little bit, not too much, just a little. But you realize, okay, the GERD is here. and so it takes about 4 to 5 days to really know, because the problem is that shit over the counter isn't working, and as a result, you know, shit, that builds panic. Now I got to go to the doctor and da-da-da-da. Now, okay, by, you know, end of the week, I didn't even tell you that I was hurting, you know, when it first started, because I'm thinking it was going to go away. But by the time I announced you that it was, that I had it, it had already gone full tilt because, you know, I didn't say anything right away. But anyway, so.
And another thing that you were telling me is that eating, you said you can't even eat a half of a sandwich. Eating is very painful.
First of all, yeah, it's not only is it painful, but you don't feel like eating. I mean, a half a peanut butter sandwich can last you 8 hours. You know, fine, easy, no problem. I mean, I'm going to lose. One thing about it, it's a diet. I mean, if you want to find something. Oh, you're going to lose weight. Oh, you're not going to have GERD and gain weight. Now, that's not going to happen. I guess that's a challenging thing, but my attitude, you know, I've never had the challenge before on a conscious level to say, okay, look, you're not feeling good. You know, actually, this is like, this sickness, it frightens me more than any other because I've gone through it. One time I had to have a little surgery in my esophagus, remove some bacteria. I don't know if it was a big deal or not, but it worked and things got better, whatever. Some people, I guess, don't have surgery. They just take the medicine. But it got so extreme one time I had to take it. So I know what this feels like, and it's frightening to me. I mean, I'll just be honest, because it shuts me down. I can't move like I normally do. I can't eat. I can't sleep. Things in my life just changed. So it was in the early stages of my life, a cold would shut me down if I thought I was, you know, going to really be sick. But, you know, I've kind of overcome that and figured, okay, damn, if I take enough Accutane or whatever the case may be, you know, it'll go away. But this GERD thing, the pain is what frightened me so much. It was just, it's kind of painful. So my challenge, you know, from the ancestors, and I did not design it this way because I am not in the challenges as anyone that knows me knows. You don't challenge me to another sit-up. I just won't do it.
And I got my hand up. I got my right hand up. I'm testifying. You don't do anything that's not easy. And I just one sit-up. I said, try one sit-up. And no, he won't do it. So you're right. You won't do nothing. No challenges.
Yeah, well, I'll do something, but I'm not going to like, hey, look, five more. You know, don't, No, that just doesn't work for me. So anyway, I really don't mind losing and saying, no, I'm not going to do five more. That's just my personality. So I am not one to, like, take on a challenge. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not going to, oh, ancestors, bring this one. That's just not my idea of fun. So I'm going through this, and it really was stressing me out. And finally, you know, the ancestors are like, look, this is how, you know, this is the pattern you've had in your life. You challenge, you challenge, you resist, we challenge you more. You challenge, you resist, we challenge you with the same thing more. I'm realizing that things are repeating themselves because I'm resisting them, and then my resistance creates more of whatever it is. And so this illness this week, it was I was challenged to say, look, as much as possible, it can control everything, but not your attitude. Like you don't have an excuse to look for sympathy. You don't need to be mean to people, short, you know, because I'm not feeling well, and that, you know, I'll cut you off short, or whatever. It alter my personality, my normal personality at all.
I have to say that when I talked to you this week, and I believe it was on Friday, it had to be Friday. And you were just talking, and when you were telling me that you were in all this pain, I remember squinching my eyebrows together and thinking, what? Because you didn't sound like you were having any pain. You didn't sound like you were sick. You didn't sound like somebody with that energy of, oh, I'm sick. I mean, you sound normal. If anything, you sounded like you sounded up. You sounded like you're having a really good day.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't about, okay, try not to sound sick, try not to do this, try to sound happy. It's not even about that. It's the fact that I'm really in tune to this program, that my physical feelings, my emotional feelings, my attitude, and I had to buy into that. That's the problem. You know, that was the issue, is buying into that spookism shit. Where you, okay, my attitude is controlled by my connection. And now that, you know, my true happiness, I'm, you know, on this journey I found, you know, this particular journey this week, if I rely on how I'm feeling, if I rely on my emotional stability, if I rely on what's going on to dictate my happiness, then that is why my happiness comes and it goes, and it has highs and it has lows, and then it goes away sometimes, because I connected how I'm feeling emotionally, physically, with how I'm feeling, with how strong my connection is with my source. And now that I've realized, look, man, it really doesn't matter what's going on. All those things are important, don't get me wrong. And yeah, I'm feeling pain, but you don't allow, that is not what dictates your attitude. And if you allow it to, I allowed it to all my damn life. So don't think that I don't understand. Shit, this is the first week, so I'm not the enlightened one. All I'm saying is that I tapped into something that says to me that how you are doing it doesn't have to be done that way anymore. And I've like I said, it's only been a week or so, but it really has it's having an effect on my personality, because I'm realizing that what really does control it or influence it.
Well, one of the things you said earlier, and this is really important, we're talking about fear, and you said that you were afraid this being sick, whether it was a cold or what, now you have pain, caused fear and caused panic and caused anxiety. And all of that, what I got from it is that the universe, the ancestors, don't want you afraid. They don't want you to be panicked. They don't want you to have anxiety over something like this. So over some kind of illness or some kind of pain. So it's really the universe. It always works, regardless of how it feels, how it looks. It's always working in our behalf. It's always there to serve us. And just the belief of that, just, you know, because I'm listening to you and I'm just getting the belief of that, the trust that everything is here to serve us. Everything is here. It's actually here for our betterment. It's a really deep concept, because all of it is here for our betterment. The universe is here to support us. The universe does support us in every single moment, even if it's a disease, even if it's pain, even if it's finances, even if it's whatever it is, getting older, even if it's, it doesn't matter. It is here to support us. And this programming to think that something is wrong, just not true. Nothing is ever wrong with the individual or with the world.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that's it. But it's tuning into that knowledge at the time of the crisis. This is, mm-hmm. The issue, you know. So I'm not, oh, it's easy, just tap in, you know. it doesn't really feel that way. I mean, because the pain doesn't go away, and the insecurities of not being able to work and bills, none of that shit disappears. You know, it's no hocus pocus here. All I'm saying is just that you still control your personality. That's all, and the universe is guiding me to that. And now that is becoming so important, I don't know if dealing with the pain is less. I'm not gonna even say anything like that. But the pain is different in terms of how.
Okay, now you just hit on something else, and what you're talking about is your focus. Your focus is different. And it's really our choice to decide what we're gonna. You're focusing on your attitude, your vibration, if you will, your light vibration, your light as opposed to heavy vibration, and you're focusing on that as opposed to focusing on the illness and the pain. And not that you're not aware or feel it. Where is the focus? Am I on something here?
No, you're not on it. You discovered it. You're all around it. That's exactly the whole issue is what I allow my mind to focus on. Yeah, to determine how I treat myself, how I treat others, how my personality is going to be shaped. I focus on the pain. Well, shit, quite naturally. You know, you're not. If you're focusing on the pain, I don't expect you to say good morning. I just don't. Shit. I mean, hell. I mean, who would? But if you're focusing on the fact that I have pain, yet my connection is no different than it was before I had it, I could see that influencing your personality. That's all.
So I have a question. This is just a question. What, and just your opinion, because there are a lot of people that I know, and quite frankly, my mother's one of these that she could be on her deathbed, but she's not going to. If you call her and say how are you, she's like, I'm fine. And there are people that share with whoever will listen their ailments and their sickness and how they feel, and it becomes a part. And I'm not saying one side or one's wrong, but I just notice and the difference of people, and I've never really understood that sharing your illness or sharing, why are you sharing your illness? And I'm gonna usually, and then I come up with a judgment that you either want sympathy or you want attention, and I got to take that away because, you know, judgments aren't good. Judgments, I'm judging other people, but I'm really judging myself. So now that I'm talking about it, I accept that, but I just notice there are different people that share different. I have a gentleman in one of my classes. And the first day, I found out he had this surgery, that surgery, this plate, that plate. And what is that shit? I mean, do you have any opinion on that or not really about people just sharing? In other words, when you share that, you're keeping that state present. I guess that's what I want to say.
Yeah, I mean, but I also, I mean, and yeah, that's absolutely right. But I realize that there are some people that enjoy sharing that that information. They, you know, just like some people enjoy talking sports. And then a person that walks up doesn't understand sports or doesn't like sports. You know, they're always talking about sports. You know, sports, sports, sports. And then there's some people that enjoy, I know there are some people that enjoy talking about illness. And the reason I know is because I was one of them. I enjoy talking about my illnesses. sharing, especially after I got over some GERD or you know, in the initial stages or something like that. Yeah, shit. It was a conversation that I found interesting. I'll just have to say, and I accept the people that find it interesting. Hell, and it's not that I'm here to encourage you or discourage you or anyone else or myself or whatever from talking about it. My issue is because shit, some people find it fascinating. I'm telling you, man, they talk about, you know, they know a lot of stuff, and so they research, and hell, you find yourself listening to, you know, but all I'm saying is my issue is, hell, whether you talk about it or not, you know, are we, you know, at some point I think we get to the level where we can actually look at it and admit that, although, you know, there's a lot going on, that it's not a controlling force. You still hold the power to control your attitude. That's all I'm trying to get out of shit. If you want to talk about it,
you know. So let me just check myself, because, you know, I like to check myself right on. Hopefully nobody's listening to the show, which they're not listening to the show. But if they are or not listening, let me just check myself, because yeah, I still have that looking at somebody else and why would they do that and making a judgment and kind of looking at them like, oh boy, jeez, what's wrong with them? And the crazy thing is, it's only because I'm not like that. They should be more like me, the way I. But you hit me with some people like talking about sports, and that's right though. So a light bulb just went on. And it's just what they like to do and what they enjoy doing. Just because I don't enjoy doing it or I don't want to do that doesn't mean that what they're doing is needs, number one, needs to be judged by me. Who the hell am I? And number two, hey, there's somebody to find, somebody to talk to about anything. So thank you for helping me with that. Like you said, some people like to talk about, and that's true. Some people, listen, where I work, some people always talk about the cases that they're on, the legal cases all day. And I'm thinking, why are they talking about that? Who cares? Don't you know it? In 100 years, it's not going to matter at all. So that's on me.
Yeah,
judgment closed.
Well, I do it too. I do it the same. I mean, you know, I find myself doing the same thing. It's just, I know the principles of the universe. I don't always follow them.
And so that is it. That's what this life is. When you know you have the foundation, and then you have the choices, and then you feel there's a certain way of feeling when you follow it. You feel a certain way, and when you don't follow it, like you said, something resisting. I mean, resisting to me is like trying to stop a tsunami. So you feel the difference, and then you get to another place where, okay, this is how this feels. This is how resistance feels. You know what? I'd rather not resist today. Let me just accept today, and let me just roll with this acceptance. So it sounds like that's exactly where you are. The acceptance,
yeah.
And then taking it further where that acceptance isn't influencing your personality or how you. I mean, listen, I'm talking about you. Everybody can hear your energy on this call. You sound like you're in tip top shape, my brother.
Yeah, tip top shape. I've never been in tip top shape in my entire life. Man, I'm in shape. Don't get me wrong. You know, I'm physically fit to some extent, but I've never in my life been in tip top condition. but you know what, I gotta admit something, that I feel different than I've ever felt before, having, you know, this GERD stuff. I'm in a different state of mind. I feel different. I don't think the pain is any less. But I sure like the fact that I still hold my, you know, I'm able to be the person that I want to be. And I'm not even going to put, like you said, a judgment on it. But I've always wanted to be able to feel good and not be feeling good. You know, so I don't know if that makes sense, but that makes perfect sense.
And it makes so much sense, I have to repeat it. You want to be able to feel good even if you're not feeling good. That's huge. Feel good even if you're not feeling good.
Yeah, and that was something that, to me, was something that I personally, you know, I found, you know, the universe put it as a challenge. And I understand exactly why, because that's something that was one of my issues. I mean, not that I would be mean to people, but I really enjoyed sympathy. I enjoyed that nod of, acknowledge the pain. You know, I don't know. But, you know, look at my whatever it was in pain. It's nice when people say, oh, or feel that, yeah, you're going through something. You know, I don't know what it is, but they look at your cast and they go, oh, a cast. You know, you got to carry that around. I don't know. I have to say, and I don't say it proudly, but, yeah, that I like that. I like that.
Oh, see, I'm only going to get honesty from you, which one of the things I love about you, and and that's the key. When you're really honest with yourself, and for me, admitting or accepting all the things, like I said, in the corners, in the dark, nobody who wants to put a spotlight on the shit that I'm not proud of. Well. Here we go. But that's the only way to be liberated from it. When things come into the light, that is only, in my opinion, the only way you can be liberated from it. You can't be liberated from it if it's still in the dark.
No, I agree with you 100% on that. Although I like it, Stan, it didn't bother me when it was in the dark. But...
that's what happens. It didn't bother you then. And so... like you said, things happen and they evolve and they happen at a perfect time. Like, because the show's almost up, but can I ask you or get your opinion on something that just happened this week? And it happened in the media. And to me, it was really a great topic. I'm thinking about putting it into my second book, which... Jesus Christ, writing another one, Program for Happiness. And what happened is, did you hear anything about Kanye West and Wiz Khalifa fighting over Twitter? Did you hear that?
No, I missed.
Yeah. See, that's one thing about Sid Carr, right? He cares less about people that are quote celebrities. But I'm aware of certain things that happen, and this really hit me, and it goes under the topic of being offended. Okay, so I don't really know with Khalifa, and they're not people that I follow. Music is fine, but you know, I like other rappers. They're not my favorites. I wouldn't go to a Kanye concert or Wiz Khalifa concert. They're just not my top favorite rappers. But anyway, I digress. So Wiz Khalifa and Kanye, I guess they're on each other's Twitter, and Wiz Khalifa said, "Oh, this is what happened." Kanye started it by saying he has a new album that's coming out. And he's going to change. And he keeps changing the title of his album. So he said, this one tweet, he says, I'm changing the title of my album to Waves, W-A-V-E-S. And then Wiz Khalifa tweeted and said, you can't use Waves because some other person is using it. Use something else. And then Kanye was offended by that, and he tweeted back to Wiz Khalifa. And then Wiz Khalifa said something about KK. Now, KK, right on the surface, sounds like Kim Kardashian, who Kanye West is married to. And Kanye West took the KK as Kim Kardashian, that Wiz Khalifa was slighting his wife. And Kanye went off. He went off with all of these tweets, really horrible tweets about Wiz Khalifa, and Wiz Khalifa was married to Amber Rose, and Amber Rose was also hanging out with Kanye for a while. But anyway, so it's a whole circle. And so Wiz Khalifa wrote, Kanye started like 17 tweets about just insulting Wiz Khalifa, said that the child that he had with Amber Rose, really his child. He said his music is bad. He just went off 17 times, and because he thought that Wiz Khalifa said something about his wife. And then Wiz Khalifa tweeted back later, says, KK means weed, man. Like, you're off. I'm not even talking about your wife. I'm talking about weed. But my point is this. These people, Kanye West, has everything. Looking at it, everything. The wife, the career, the millions of dollars, the fashion, the you know, albums. You know, he's doing his thing. He's doing what he was, quote, born to do, destined to do. And then one insult or one sentence took him off to the moon, and he went berserk. Really angry. And then when he found out that KK really meant marijuana or weed, he's like, oh my bad. after he just drugged this guy through the mud. My question to you is, please share your philosophies, theories about people getting offended, and especially people that are so influence and affluence. You've been in all the circles. So what have you found? In other words, share your thoughts about that, because I had my thoughts. What did you think?
Yeah, well, you know, I just when I think about that offending thing, I always stick to that philosophy. This is what I think. I think you should form an opinion of yourself, and then not allow. Shit, how do you do that? I think you should form an opinion of yourself, and don't put anyone else responsible other than the way you feel about yourself. What I'm trying to say is this: someone calls you ugly, hey, you ugly man. This is what I believe. It had to already have been your opinion in order for that person's words to affect you. I mean, that's what I believe. I believe that in my heart. And if it wasn't your opinion in the first place, then it feels like whenever someone says something ridiculous, like I told you a long time ago, when I was in the ninth grade, I'm a dark person for the people in the radio. I'm very dark, so there was a joke going around that my name was Mr. Kingsford. Now, when I first heard this, Mr. Kingsford is a brand of a charcoal. I didn't know that. I mean, you should have known it. I didn't know it. Okay, so I didn't when they first called me, it didn't mean anything to me. I mean, it didn't. But once I found out that Mr. King for charcoal, of course, yeah, I got a little, and offended. What I'm saying is that I've got tons of examples of that. As long as I wasn't thinking it, and I didn't think that what the word was bad, for some reason it didn't affect me. So now I take it on a conscious level. I'm like, okay, listen, this is my opinion of Sid. Boom, 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 boom. And I've self-examined myself to the high heavens. But I accept the things, I'm starting to accept the things that I quote unquote didn't like about myself, just accepting all of me. And for some reason or another, when I'm honest with myself and I believe what I believe about myself, whether it's good, you know, whether some people call it good or bad or whatever, that shit is irrelevant. It says that I've already accepted it. And it just doesn't seem, words just don't seem to have that type of an effect when I've taken on this type of philosophy. So I believe if you're offended, then it, someplace in your mind, you believed whatever was said, or to some degree. And I think that's why you get offended, because really the person is just saying something that you believe that you didn't have the guts to say to yourself. And I don't even mean, I'm not even trying to sound hard or cruel. I'm just really just stating how I feel, and don't, because I'm not a callous heart. That's not who I am, but it may sound that way right now, but I'm just saying that if you're talking about, it offended me, he offended, or she offended me, or anything like that, it's really on you. It's not on them. That's just how I feel about it.
And then let me just take it another step further, because one of the things you said earlier, which is really, really important, form an opinion of yourself. And let me say this, that took decades to form an opinion of myself that was solid, and it was in every cell of my body, because quite frankly, I was very critical of self. I found everything wrong with me. But when you get to a point where, for me, I was tired of feeling, I keep saying, I was tired of feeling bad about me and tired of feeling bad and critical about me. I had enough. I spent most of my life criticizing, feeling bad about me, my shortcomings, what I didn't do. And then when you really start to believe, and you really start in that feeling of getting a sense, and look at me and start looking at myself the way the universe looks at me, then, and really believing it, and you've helped me a lot with that too, quite frankly, you know, always help, and just starting to believe it, that, wow, I'm pretty good. I'm all of that, and not in a cocky way, but in a way that nothing else. My opinion is the only opinion that matters, and it's not the opinion of anybody else. And I was telling Nathan the other day, it really gets down to this with this two words that I say all the time now. Who cares? I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I don't care what anybody says about me. They're going to say, they're going to think whether I'm in it or not. I can't care what, I cannot give anybody power. I care about what I think about myself. But no, I'm not letting anybody else have any power to either make me feel good or bad about myself. And the funny thing is, when I talk about that and I teach that, I remember one of my students says, well, Rebecca, what if somebody was offering some constructive criticism? And then you're constructive. And I said, you know what? Unless I ask somebody for their opinion, constructive criticism, what? Why are you criticizing me? I'm not going to criticize you. I'm not going to, in my real life, I don't criticize anybody. I used to. Oh, my, I was the best one. I was the best at it. But I'm not going to criticize anybody. And anybody in my life that criticizes me or talks or says one thing that I don't believe about me and just has this critical nature, guess what? They're history. And some of them are herstory, get it? Herstory and history, they're gone. You're critical. It's like kryptonite. No. I can't do that anymore. That critical thing just doesn't fit who I am. It doesn't flow with my energy. It just doesn't feel good.
Yeah, well, and you know, I there are some people that I'm able to get to that are critical. I mean, I'm all for distance. I think that's the only thing that, you know, conscious people are allowed to use as a quote-unquote weapon or whatever you want to call it. But I think that, but there's some people you can't run from. They're just going to, you know, you work with them or whatever the case may be. But this is my little strategy that works for me. Listen, I realize that you need to hear what you have to say about yourself. And I'm just providing that instrument, that sounding board for you. So you need to hear you're a stupid motherfucker, and you think you need to say it to me, but I understand in my mind the way it works. You need to hear it yourself. And the only way you hear it yourself is you have to have me as a sounding board. And I'll provide that service so you can hear exactly what you think about yourself. And so sometimes, you know, I got some people that I work with I can't get away from, and they want to be critical, but it really, you know, doesn't move me at all as much as it used to because I provide a service, and that's a sounding board, so that you can hear that you are a stupid motherfucker. And, you know, you can't tell that to yourself. You can't go to the mirror and say it. And so I'm your mirror.
You know what? See, now that's what they call the cherry on the ice cream. The cherry on the sundae. The cherry on the sundae. That was perfect. And you're right. Realize that this critical stuff from these other people. Realize that it's really talking about themselves. And when you really get that, thank you for reminding me that point. When you get that, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It really doesn't.
Yeah, and you know, I tell you, it's a journey. It truly is. But sweetie, I'm getting ready to go.
Shut it down. I'm shutting it down too. And but stay close because you know I'm going on a jet. I just have to ask you one question. Stay close. Thank you for being on the show, Sid Cartwright. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sweetie pie.
Thank you. Love you.
Okay,
so that's all the time we had today's show. Thank you for listening. Next week we have a guest again. I have a guest. It's going to be a fabulous show. The description of the show next week. And this gentleman has been on Oprah, and he's talked. He's an inspirational speaker all over the world. Now I'm trying to remember his name. Isn't that funny? I think it's Jim Johnson, Coach Jim Johnson. But anyway, that's next week's show. Reality Spirituality is heard every Sunday at 7 a.m. Again, go to my website, Rebecca Norrington. Go to the private session tabs if you want to have a private session with me. Email me at info@RebeccaNorrington.com. Follow me on Twitter at RL Norrington. Facebook, Reality Spirituality. So like the Reality Spirituality Facebook page. And until next week, my dear audience, I want you to remember, you are a physical extension of the universe. You're always evolving. You're always changing. You're always growing. Be patient and be kind. Be your own best friend. Remember, you cannot have a happy ending to an unhappy journey. Talk to you again next week. Love you. Thank you so much for listening to the show. Share the show with anyone you know, everyone you know. Thank you. Reality Spirituality Radio. What? You heard me.
Yeah, oh, it's time to get real. Oh, yeah.
Reality Spirituality.
It's the newest spirit.
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, keep your ears open for this one, man.
Reality Spirituality.
You got a question for RLM?
Reality Spirituality.
Yeah, it's time to get some.
Get real good.
Get real good.
Get spiritual.